Hello, guys, gals, and my non-binary pals. Get ready to get locked into the vocal minority with Nick and Steve. Now streaming live on Really American Media. Buckle up for all of the day's need-to-know news. Thanks for being part of the resistance. All right, champions, let's hop to it. 3, 2, 1, and go.
Hippity hop, here we are back again. Take two, the vocal minority with Nick and Steve. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, I promise we're semi-professionals. We've been doing this for years, just not live here on Really American Media. So I think we're figuring things out, or not.
Yeah, we're just trying to get this, we're trying to get it all figured out, dude. We'll get there. Let's not overreact, Steven.
I'm not overreacting anything. I could really care less.
Yeah, of course. The point of this podcast, obviously, to invite you in to the community of the resistance. We're going to give you information on what's going around politically. It's just a little club. So join us. Glad you're here. And the live thing is kind of a cool aspect because technically I think we can kind of chat with the audience while we're doing the show, right?
Technically speaking. That's what we're trying to figure out. Anyways, we have a website. It's thevocalminority.net for those of you that use websites still. Otherwise, you can find us on TikTok, Reddit, Facebook, Blue Sky, and, of course, YouTube. We love you, YouTube.
Blue Sky's a good one. YouTube's been a good one. So, yeah, wherever you can find us. And thanks for being part of the community.
That's right. All right. We went live a couple of minutes ago. We didn't think we were live, but apparently we are. So now people are commenting on the fact that we sat there staring at the screen for a couple of minutes. So maybe that's more entertaining than what we were planning. Who knows?
Yeah, it's very, very well possible, dude. I'm coming back from this whole, I've had a sickness for the last few days, and I got vertigo after I took a plane trip because my ears are so locked and loaded. I almost fell down the stairs today. You almost lost your partner.
Nice. That's fun. Yeah. Well, yeah, Nick and I are two radio guys that have been doing this for a long time. We joined Really American Media recently, and this podcast is, I don't know, we started on the radio in Seattle back in like 2001, and we've been doing it podcast ways for the last couple of years now, and it's become very political, and that's why we've joined this channel.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We were looking for like-minded people, and like-minded people were looking for us as well. So I'm starting to see a resurgence with that. You know, we heard about, let's all get together on the left and really, create some sort of powerhouse. And then it kind of sat stagnant for a while, but I'm seeing it start to pick up again.
Are you? Because I'm not. Because, yes, after we lost the election, a bunch of liberals said, we all need to team up. And so Nick and I raised our hands. We're like, hey, we'll team up. And nobody teamed up with anybody. I mean, I'm talking from the big shows to the little shows. No one wants to share their followers or platforms or whatever. So, we did reach out to Really American, and that's how this all started. So here we go. Yeah. We've got political news of the day. I think we're live on YouTube. I really don't know. And ultimately,
we are, dude. We are. Sure. Yeah. Rich just said vertigo is a bitch. And yeah, Rich, you're right. Yeah, I'm feeling it today. So,
The chat is working, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so, cool. Yeah. So we should probably get busting, dude. Let's get into a little bit of news, that type of stuff. You ready?
Sure. Let's keep it in.
This is Need to Know News. News you need to know.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news.
All right. Here's the deal. I know we sort of advertised the show as talking about Elon Musk, and we're going to start off that way, but we got a lot of stuff to cover. It's just kind of what we do around here. So, the latest with Elon Musk. Nick and I have been calling him Leon Musk for a while because that's what Trump called him on the campaign trail once, but I don't know if everyone's up on that joke, but I think they're all up on the joke that Musk actually is, right?
Yes, of course, dude. He hates it. You know he does, which is why we love to do it, so... Anytime we can torment a little bit, I'm all for it.
Yeah. So here's the thing. You know, I mean, Musk butt buddied up really with Trump and started the Doge thing once Trump won, promised to save us. I think it was $2 trillion in federal spending. And then it was down to $1 trillion. And then it was down to maybe a few billion. And no one at this point even knows what the hell they saved and if they even did. Because honestly, some of the cuts they've made are going to be offset by lost revenue, lost tax revenue. So the whole Doge thing really blew up in all of our faces. But you recall it epically blowing up in Leon Musk's face a few weeks ago for the start.
Well, completely. I mean, we knew from the beginning it was a scam. Figures are changing. You kept hearing the right say, like, oh, full, we're being transparent. You can go on a website and see it. That would have been great if those numbers didn't keep changing. And then, oh, we got to put that back. We weren't right about that. So I guess it was transparent, but we got a lot of false information in the beginning. And then when we started to see the whole picture, obviously, we knew, dude, that it was going to be just a shit fest.
Yeah, no, for sure. And we've been saying for a while on the show that, you know, I don't understand what Musk is thinking. Tesla in particular, his core audience for that whole thing are liberals. I don't see a lot of MAGA types out there driving around e-vehicles. And he was just spitting in our face for months and months and months. And we wondered, how long will it take to catch up to Tesla? When will we see the sales plummet?
Yeah. And do you have any good news for us? Or
well, we saw that a few weeks ago. That's the start of this whole thing. Tesla sales were down 71%, which I'm not a business major, but that seems like a bad thing.
Yeah. Seems like that might affect the company a little bit.
Right. So then he announced that he was going to be, you know, stepping away from Doge a little bit, maybe do it a day or two a week. A couple of updates for Elon Musk's world today. Both Tesla and SpaceX are quickly losing their previously good reputations among Americans following the CEO's dramatic shift into right-wing political activism. So here's the deal. Tesla has fallen to number 95 this year on the Axios Harris poll, which is essentially a poll of the popularity, the public opinion of companies in America. So Tesla was number 8 on the list, and now it is number 95.
Out of 100, did you say?
Yes. And it's two radio guys, Nick. What if a hit single is number 8 on the charts, and then next week it's number 95? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Yeah, well, we don't play that song anymore. You know?
So that was Tesla's fall, but then SpaceX was number 5 on the list, and now it's down to number 86.
Wow. See, people love this whole SpaceX thing. I don't know if I'm just, I don't have an imagination for the world beyond, but SpaceX doesn't get me off at all. It doesn't get me charged up. It doesn't make me feel like we're going to be a stronger country. So I never got it in the first place. So I'm surprised that that has held on as much as it has. I mean, it's fallen, but not as much as Tesla.
Well, pretty damn close to it, but and again, I don't know who the customers of SpaceX are. I mean, astronauts and the government and
him putting
Starlink satellites out, you know. But Tesla, that's a direct correlation to the actual consumer market, and he has epically pissed off his base, 71% drop. Someone on our chat on watching on YouTube right now says if Tesla wants to survive, they better get rid of their Nazi CEO. Does his business card say that now? It should, actually.
I think it just has the outline of him, you know, giving his salute.
Yes, his heart goes out to everyone. Here's the thing. I don't think Tesla can recover, period. I mean, us liberals have a pretty good attention span. I know a lot of us smoke some pot, but it doesn't mean we're going to forget something like this.
See, Steve, that was my question to you, because I don't know the answer, because as we look around us, we seem to forget a lot. You know, forget and forgive. So I do wonder, for the next 4 years, while we got the orange clown in office, like, will this be something we can forget? Because now Elon Musk is saying, like, I'm going to start kind of stepping away from this Republican Party a little bit. Isn't that what he's talking about?
Yeah, I mean, he does not want his face being associated with Doge anymore as far as the government stuff goes. And this, you know, the board of directors at Tesla have talked about firing him and seen how much damage he has done. And I honestly don't think that liberals are going to forget that. I think he has done generational damage because, I don't know, maybe you can forgive a Zuckerberg or somebody who sort of bent the knee to Trump. But, you know, Mark Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos, they didn't make themselves the public face along with Trump. They weren't on the campaign trail. They didn't take an office in the White House. They didn't start cutting, you know, millions and billions in debatable dollars. I mean, he has gone so far with this thing that I don't think just stepping away is going to improve car sales. I would not buy a Tesla for anything for, I mean, for the rest of my life.
Best thing that ever happened to Rivian is Elon Musk, you know, right. Because everyone I know is like, yeah, I still want to drive an electric vehicle, but it won't be a Tesla. Like, that's for sure. And I know people who have had 4-5 Teslas over the years, just keep leasing them. And they're like, yeah, I'm done with that. I'm Rivian now. So.
Yeah. Have you seen the bumper sticker around town? It's someone on their Tesla. It says, I bought this before I knew he was crazy or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't think that's ever gone away. Someone's commenting, the libs are not harsh enough. We are way too nice for the likes of these despicable jerks. I mean, in some ways that is true. And I don't think it's something we should necessarily be ashamed of. Libs are generally nice people, but we do put our money where our mouth is.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree with you, Mark. I think that we're too nice. I mean, and I have a problem with it as well, because it's generally who we are, you know, like a party of empathy and compassion. It's hard to flip that. But when you see such bull crap from Elon Musk in the way that he's acting, and I mean, he held that chainsaw up there, dude, when they were talking about, you know, like cutting government programs that are going to make a difference in people we care about and people we don't care about's lives. So I think he's right.
I think he thought he was immune to it, or that we all loved it, or whatever it is. But he has definitely figured out that it has epically backfired on him. Because the other Musk news today, he said that he's going to be stepping away from spending so much money on politics. He said, quote, I've done enough. And I think you've done more than enough, Mr. Musk, not only to America, but certainly to your companies.
Yeah, 100%. I wondered, you know, richest man in the world, will he ever completely back out? And I don't think he's actually completely backing out. I think he's trying to retreat behind the scenes a little bit and not be such a face. But there's no way that he doesn't remain involved to tie up these contracts. I mean, that's why he's there.
Yeah. He's about to be on the Kid Rock level, I think. The occasional appearance at the White House, the occasional tweet or whatever. But no, I think he's realized the damage done. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's destroyed his companies. I don't know what SpaceX's future is, nor do I really care. But Tesla is epically screwed. And I guess my point is to all the liberals watching this out there, don't take your foot off the virtual gas pedal there. Because they're... if we just let him skate on this because he's backing off now, like, no lesson will be learned. So there's plenty of electric vehicles out there, and Teslas do kind of suck. And those Cybertrucks are freaking ugly. I mean, just they are freaking ugly. Maybe if they were awesome, I would be tempted, but I'm not. It looks like a dumpster.
Yeah, I mean, they're pitiful. So, I agree. We got to just keep the gas pedal pushed to the floor. We got to get away from Musk for 100%. I think people are not going to react well to the statement he made this morning where he said, within 5 years, I plan to take over as CEO of Tesla. Like, that doesn't create any confidence with me, dude. You know?
No. No, I think he's just trying to buy himself some grace with the board there that I'm in for the next 5 years. But
right.
Good luck with that. So I don't know. That's the latest on Elon. I see Mark's commenting on YouTube about the conspiracy theory that Musk had something to do with helping to rig the election. And I just can't get on board with that one, Mark. I mean, we've seen no real evidence of that. And I've seen it debunked multiple times that Starlink had any connection to these voting machines. So as much as I would love to think that's true, and as much as there are future Pulitzer Prize winning journalists out there looking into it, I would not hold your breath. Trump is here the next 3.5 years. And as much as it makes me want to vomit, I mean, he won. We have fair elections in this country. Do we not believe that, or do we?
I do believe that, but you don't think that the fact that he put so much money into Trump's campaign in battleground states had a large effect on the election?
Oh, that did. Yes, for sure. I'm saying straight up tampering with the voting machines, the Starlink conspiracy theory, that I can't get on board with without some evidence. But obviously, the money he spent had a major impact. And this whole bull crap contest he did where he was giving people $1 million and claiming it was, you know, a lottery open to everyone and it wasn't rigged. And now we know it is rigged. He's admitted that it was rigged so he can try to claim that it wasn't a lottery. I was just paying people to be spokespeople. Yeah.
To be patriots, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So, and this is from the MAGA crowd, by the way, that, you know, it makes George Soros, the boogeyman for everything, and Bill Gates, you know, these billionaires pulling the strings behind the scenes. Yet they willingly signed up with their own billionaire and don't hide it at all and see no hypocrisy with that.
Yeah, well, that's we always see. They don't see the hypocrisy in the stuff that they do that's so blatant to us, which is one of the ways you think, oh, these people will wake up eventually. But I doubt that more each and every day.
Right. Michael is saying on YouTube, he is still the richest man on the planet. Do you think that he cares about what people think? I do think that he cares because, A, his reputation is based in those companies, and he wouldn't be backing down if he didn't care what people thought. For a few months there, he didn't care what people thought, but now reality is caught up. So he does. He cares about his companies. He cares about his money, and he's the richest person on the planet on paper. He does not have, like, hundreds of millions of dollars sitting in his checking account. So that can go up and down very, very easily.
But even then, I mean, you know, think about it. We've heard so many times, you know, people that are ultra wealthy end up killing themselves because money does not make you feel good inside about yourself or the way people perceive you. And if we've looked at anything in Elon Musk's past, it's that he craves for people to give him attention, not only, but also to validate him. Like, he needs constant validation. Yes. So, yeah, he cares what people think, for sure. That's why he got into all of this. And I think the government contracts didn't hurt. But, you know, he wants people to love him.
He is the nerd on the school bus that never got any attention. It's why he bought Twitter. He wanted that attention. He started playing on Twitter. He started seeing the followers, the response, and he started feeling good about that. And everyone out there, including us, is trying to get everybody's attention. And Musk figured out a way to do it. And he was loving it until reality caught up.
Completely. Yeah, so, completely agree. So all of that's good news. I'm going to talk a little bit about what he actually did when he destroyed so many programs in Doge, because we're starting to see the light at the, or not the light, a darkness at the end of this tunnel with the mass layoffs.
Keep in mind, Nick, sometimes the light at the end of the tunnel is just a freight train coming your way. So.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. Well, that's what this sounds like. I read this report today that mass layoffs, President Trump's second term began, over 130,000 federal workers have been laid off. They are talking now about a mental health crisis. The layoffs have triggered a severe mental health crisis among the remaining employees that are still there trying to keep these programs functioning, including reports of excessive panic attacks, depression, and suicides, mind you. They're saying that this was intentional trauma. The officials admitted that the goal was to traumatize these civil servants to make them want to quit so they didn't have to completely fire everybody. So they started treating them so bad. But now people are starting to compare this to the France telecom mental health travesty that we saw, where people were killing themselves because of this. So we're going to see what this does now that these public service advocates are taking a look into how they targeted so many public servants. They're going to have to come up with some sort of program to take care of these people. And we have to figure out how will all these things survive that they left dwindling with just a few employees to try and manage different things. Like, yeah, this country has not seen the end of FAFO when it comes to Doge yet. I think it's just starting to get rolling.
Totally agree. I was going to say, we are smack dab in the midst of F around, and the find out stage is still coming. We're seeing some of this trickle in, but it's nowhere near at the peak of it all. I mean, I live in a international destination in the forest, and we have had all sorts of Forest Service employees get laid off, all sorts of people that work for AmeriCorps that have programs in my area that have just this week finally gotten laid off. Yeah. And the issue is, when you fire someone like that or you cut a program like that on day one or week one, you're not going to notice the difference. But we're heading into the summer season around here, and we're heading into fire season. And that's when you're going to start to see some of this stuff catch up. And yeah, suicide, depressions, a spike in domestic violence. I mean, everything is just going to keep going up. And you mentioned that, you know, some people like Musk may start to feel suicidal as their, you know, star is not shining quite as bright.
Yeah, I mean, we saw YouTube,
someone on YouTube seemed to be thinking you were making a suggestion. That's how we could solve our Musk problem.
Oh, by just depressing the crap out of him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, good for the goose, good for the gander, right?
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know. The lithium keeps him moving. Or is that what he's on, lithium?
I have no idea. I mean, he's got to be on something just based on his public behavior. So,
yeah. So there you go. Elon Musk finally failing.
All right. Very good.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
I was just going to ask if we're doing the bumpers or not.
Oh,
Somebody on here says they get enraged every time they see a Cybertruck. You and me both, brother. I already have a negative opinion of guys with little dicks in big trucks, you know, because I just look down my nose at them, as does almost every woman on this planet. But when I see a Cybertruck, I mean, I give them the middle finger almost every time I drive by one. I just wonder if these people understand that they are just drawing hatred out of all of us just by driving down the street.
Of course they do. Hey, Catherine, thank you. Ketamine is what I was trying to say. Okay, he's not on lithium. He's on ketamine, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah. All right. Do we have our Marco Rubio video? Is that queued up and ready to go?
Yeah, I can get it ready for you.
All right, let me set it up here. This just happened today, a clash with Maryland Senator Chris Von Hollen, Democrat, that went well beyond the senator's allotted questioning time. He was squaring off with Secretary of State, little Marco Rubio. Rubio was called today to testify about the 2026 budget. And, you know, you got to take questions and give some sort of answers when you're called up like this. And this video is mildly entertaining. And when I say mildly, I mean this video is highly entertaining. So if you're ready, go ahead.
Directly and personally, that I regret voting for you for Secretary of State. I yield back.
May I respond?
You may, sir.
Well, first of all, your regret for voting for me confirms I'm doing a good job. Based on what I know. Well,
that's just a flippant statement, Mr. Secretary.
Can I respond, Mr. Chairman?
You
Mr.
may.
I didn't ask.
Senator, please let the Secretary have
I'd be
the floor.
Happy to, but then I can respond to his.
Your response. Time's up, Senator, and woefully used, I might add. Well, your remarks do not represent the view of this committee.
Well, Mr.
Secretary,
Chairman.
Please.
Well, I'd like to. I can't respond to everything he said because much of these are untrue, but I'll go through a few. First of all, I'm actually very proud of the work we've done with USAID. For example, I don't regret cutting $10 million for male circumcisions in Mozambique. I don't know how that makes us stronger and more prosperous as a nation.
I
don't regret
Sudan,
cycle social support services.
I raised Sudan, Mr. Secretary.
Can I respond,
not
Senator? Senator, I'd ask you to suspend. You had 7 straight minutes.
I chose to use my time that, Mr. Chairman. That's my right to
please
use
suspend,
my time that way.
Secretary Rubio.
Well, I can go on. I mean, there's other things here.
Well, I don't know why he didn't jump back in and say, you know, exactly what he needed to say. There's not a whole lot to say to that.
Yeah. So they just went back and forth bitching at each other for several minutes there. And Rubio was attempting to make these arguments that they have somehow cut programs that no one even knew existed, or some of them no one actually understands the main point. It is very flippant to just say, like, we're paying for circumcisions in some third world country. Like, what the hell is that about? And he went on to talk about, you know, the arrests that are happening on college campuses, the fact that we're deporting people that have dissenting views. And Senator Von Hollen there tried to nail him down, saying essentially, do we not have free speech in America? Do we not have free speech on college campuses? And Rubio pushed back, saying, you know, we have every right to deport somebody who's come to this country to study and they're anti-American.
It's just crazy to me to think about how all this is going with, you know, people being deported, and it's just about to get worse, a whole lot worse, you know?
Yeah, and he tried to make a point that judges don't get to tell him how to do his job. I'm no legal expert, Nick, but don't judges kind of get to tell all of us how to do our job if we're breaking the law while doing the aforementioned jump?
Yeah, I mean, well, just think about it. Let's take jobs out of it. A judge gets to tell me, A, if I have freedom or no freedom, you know, as far as incarceration or not. When you get a divorce, judge gets to tell you what to do, how much you pay, when you'll see them. Yes, a judge gets to tell everybody what to do, dude. Right.
What's the scenario where a judge can tell you something, you're just like, nah, pass.
Dude, that's funny to bring that up, because it used to be that, you know, if you were disobedient against a judge's order, like immediately you were taken into custody. They'd go pick you up, you know, like, we will make you comply. This is an order, a lawful order, but not anymore. I mean, Trump has changed the standard for them anyway. I don't think they've changed it for us, but so.
No. And yeah, I don't know. This just keeps going round and round. This notion that we don't have to listen to judges, or that a judge can't weigh in on a national matter or national security matters. It's just not the way it works. I know we've given Trump this sort of false sense that he's invincible, in part because the Supreme Court basically said he was. But we still have to follow judges' orders. And I know I keep harping on this, but we have three equal branches of government. It's one of the founding principles of this country. And yeah, the judiciary does get to tell the legislative or the executive what to do. That's one of the major checks and balances. And since the legislative is blowing the executive, we need that third branch to chime in. And they're doing it selectively.
Yeah, it's the only thing saving us right now. It's the only thing keeping some of this crazy out of our country. But like we've been worried since the beginning, you know, every time we see them start to defy a judge's order or just ignore it, you know, it gets scarier and scarier because, you know, we've talked about it before. What are they going to do? You know, what's the judge going to do?
I can't.
He's going to put the president in jail. Yeah, me too.
Well, it's going to happen one of these days. I don't know that for, like, contempt that they would put Trump himself in jail, but, you know, Pam Bondi or some of these other heads of the departments, a little Marco Rubio, like, somebody has to get in trouble one of these days. And, you know, Rubio is bragging about people they've deported and the fact that somebody like, you know, Abrazio Garcia is never going to be back in this country again, even though courts have demanded that they do everything they can to facilitate. Like, we're already right on the precipice of this constitutional crisis. And so, yeah, I think someday your question will be answered. What will the courts do?
Hey, dude, does it not really matter? Because say through Pam Bondi in jail. Like or prison, whatever. I don't know what the charge is, but wouldn't Trump just pardon her? I mean, Trump has to go to jail because otherwise it's a quick in and out. Like, you know, I'm just going to take you down and book you and then you'll be right back out.
Yeah, that is a catch-22 that I don't think the Founding Fathers saw coming when we gave presidents a, you know, pardon power. However, it's only for federal stuff. So if some state were to prosecute him, if the home state of Abrazio Garcia or for whatever the hell the next thing is going to be, we need a state court to be able to do that kind of thing, because can't pardon himself out of that.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I mean, I don't want to watch it unfold. Like, I wish this would just all stop immediately and someone would wake up and get a little sense. The fact, you know what? Screw Donald Trump. Like, I expect it from him. But the fact that that entire party is going along with this and being like, yeah, this is normal. Like, listen to what he's saying. It's just crazy to me. And that's exactly why I've had a really hard time with sitting down and having a conversation with anyone from the Republican Party, because you haven't had any courage to stand up and say, you know what? Yeah, we have different beliefs. I'm conservative, but that's not right.
Yeah. No, I'm old enough to remember when Republicans respected the rule of law and didn't think that anarchy was okay. So, you know, we are still effing around. We are yet to find out. But that's the latest on that one.
All righty then.
Need to know news. News you need to know.
Oh, Stephen, have you seen anything that's going on Capitol Hill? Trump is trying to strong arm, you know, the House GOP into moving his massive domestic policy through.
Yeah. Why would he have to strong arm anyone? He controls all branches of government.
It's true. I mean, maybe he doesn't, but he had a long talk today, dude, just to let people know.
Because he's crazy and suggesting things that even some mega Republicans are like, I can't do that. I can't cut Medicaid. I can't cut some of these programs. I will not have a job anymore. Some people are finally maybe starting to see that Trump is going to be gone at some point, be it being, you know, can't run again or dies or whatever is going to happen.
Yeah. But are there enough to stand up and care, you know, that are actually, I mean, I guess it's nice that we're seeing a few be like, oh yeah, this might anger my constituents. I don't know if I can go along with that, but is it enough? Who knows? Do you have any, do you know what this, one big, beautiful bill is that he's trying to put through?
You want me to recite it? What do you mean?
No, I just mean, do you know what's in it? Like why people have some issues with it?
Well, because I know it's big, and I know it's beautiful. So
it's so freaking big and beautiful, okay? What could possibly be wrong with it? You know, I know that every time I hear somebody talking about it from the right, it's just like tax, no tax on tips, no tax on overtime. Like that you just hear about the stuff that, yeah, I'm okay with that. I think that might work and be a good thing for people to do. But they never talk about what's going to have to happen to get those things out, right? Yeah. And, you know, a child tax credit, that's in the bill, expands child tax credit, offering more financial relief for families with kids. Yeah, I don't really care because I don't have kids, but yeah, I could see why you'd want to get behind that and support it. So all of these things, but those spending cuts to offset the bill proposing significant spending reductions in programs like Medicaid and food stamps. They will be cut from largely to make sure all this happens. And I thought it was funny. Somebody asked him about it today. Like, what kind of sense does this make? I'll play this video for you.
Okay. Campaign on lowering the price of groceries. How can you justify cutting food assistance in this bill?
Let me just tell you, the cut is going to give everybody much more food because prices are coming way down. Groceries are down. Eggs. You told me about eggs. You asked me a question about eggs my first week.
Stop with eggs.
I said, I just got here. Tell me about eggs. And it was going through. If you know that eggs now, way down. Everybody's buying eggs. Groceries down. Energy's down. Gasoline is now buying. They're buying gasoline now for $1.99. If you look back, you'll see $3.50, $4. This country, we're going to lose this country. Our country now is respected all over the world. All over the world, we're respected.
Don't start.
We're a laughing stock.
Dude, this just boggles my mind that his fans, that MAGA party, takes this and that makes sense to me. Like, things are going to be so cheap, us poor people won't need food stamps anymore. We won't need assistance. You know how many kids don't get breakfast, don't get three meals a day and are getting fed at school, stuff like that. All these programs going away, it doesn't matter because eggs are so cheap now, dude. Even a poor person can afford eggs.
Right. The problem is they're not. Everything you just said there is a lie. I mean, he tried to claim that egg prices were down 92%, which at some point means they're just paying us to take eggs, apparently. And the assertion that gas price, I mean, things do go up and down a little bit in the gas market, which generally has nothing to do with the actual president of the United States. But he is just flat out lying. He does not seem to realize he's not on the campaign trail anymore. Now he's actually in the White House, and we are seeing prices going up. Eggs certainly have not come down any noticeable amount. No. And, you know, I mean, Walmart announced last week they're going to have to raise prices. I did a story for Really American Today about the fact that Target is now raising prices quite significantly on some items. And then I showed just a variety of small business owners on the internet showing how much they're paying for tariffs, medium-sized companies that are jacking up prices, your Temus, all that kind of stuff. And the Trump administration got rid of this Dominius thing. That was where you could basically buy something directly from a Chinese company like Temu. And if it was under $800, there would be no duty or tariff or anything like that.
Okay.
So you may have seen that trend on TikTok in the last month or two where people are like, start buying just directly from these companies. Well, that loophole has now gone away. So Business 101 states that when your cost of doing business goes up, you have to raise prices. You cannot possibly expect normal businesses to just absorb this cost. As Trump said last week, just eat the tariffs, Walmart, which is antithetical to how business works, and it's also admitting that there are tariff costs to be eaten. He told us it wasn't going to cost any of us anything. Now he wants you to eat it.
He wants you to eat it and shut up about it. Like, you know, just stop talking about it, because he said, I'm watching. I'm watching, and your customers will be watching. Like, trying to put the customers against Walmart. Like, we know, dude. Those of us in the know this is your fault.
Oh, spot on. And he knows it's his fault. He knows this is all making him look bad. And that is one of the reasons I feel like we get up every day and do this sort of stuff. Because the best way to hurt Trump is to go at his vanity, his narcissism. So when Walmart makes him look bad, he freaks out. When SNL makes him look bad, or Bruce Springsteen or Taylor Swift, like, he has little temper tantrum, little baby Trump lashing out at Walmart and Bruce Springsteen within 24 hours.
Dude, you know what's so funny about the Walmart thing is that, you know what, they're going to have to raise their prices. And they just came out with a statement, you know, after he threatened and said, oh, I'll be watching you, your customers will be watching. They came on and said, like, you can watch, and like, we're going to try and do our best, but there's no way to keep that flowing. We're going to have to raise prices. And they're, like you said, they're right. Maybe you can absorb some of that stuff for a very short amount of time. But they said all retail, the profit margins are so thin that, you know, we can't do that. We're going to have to raise these prices. Yeah. Walmart's already had its own issues, you know, with how they treat their employees, specifically, you know, women managers, you know, not making enough money so they can keep their prices down way low. They're going to have to increase some stuff because of the tariffs.
Yeah. And by the way, if major companies like Walmart all of a sudden just start losing profits because they're eating tariffs, I mean, worst case, obviously, you can, you know, cause unemployment and layoffs and whatnot. But inflation, recessions, those things all get triggered by the dollar being devalued, the cost of goods going up. Like, it's not in anyone's best interest. And if you want to raise taxes on the Walmart family or the, you know, whatever business, like, that's a whole separate issue. You cannot just screw with their fundamental business structure, raise the cost of goods, and expect them to eat it so that President Vanity Trump doesn't look bad.
Right. No, you can't do it, dude. And the whole the way that he says, I'll be watching you, these threats, like, you know what, 4 years ago, I wouldn't have thought anything. Like, oh, yeah, go ahead and watch me. But now we're seeing the actual things happen that are crazy. So you're like, oh, man, he is watching me. Maybe I should pipe down a little bit. And that's exactly why he does it. Right.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's on a vengeance tour. Whether it's people or law firms that tried to prosecute him, government agencies that went after him, or yes, now businesses. And, you know, by the way, part of the story I did today was about an employee at Target took pictures of him changing the price tags on some of these items. And the one they highlighted, it was a USB cord selling for $9.99. He was replacing it with a price tag of $17.99, which is a significant increase. And I'm not saying that everything will spike 80%, but almost everything will go up. And Target was asked about it, and they said no comment, because they don't want to be in the public eye like that. They don't want to get threatened by Trump. They don't want MAGA coming after them. They're just trying to run a business, and now it's become political, just following business 101 from the businessman president.
Yeah, art of the deal, dude. You know? Jeez, dude. And that there's that family that owns Walmart. I mean, also, yes. Think about the fact that they're the largest retailer, and you can find them in a lot of really small communities that don't have much else. There's a Walmart. So to mess with all of that, not for customers, for employees, is just beyond crazy to me.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about how Tesla doesn't understand their customers are lefty liberals, but Does Trump not understand that? I don't know. I don't want to be too stereotypical here, but I would bet the average MAGA voter shops at Walmart a lot more often than the average Democrat. And that's not to say that we're not shopping at Walmart. I do for certain items. I get it. They've got quantity and they do have good prices. I'm just saying the average rednecks in this country, the Deep South, some of this MAGA heartland, they freaking live at Walmart. So this reality is going to catch up to them, and they don't want Walmart going anywhere.
No, no, it's just, it's crazy all the way around. So, hey, just to put a little bow on what I was telling you about this bill that people don't understand, that's where we started with this whole conversation.
Oh, yes. Big and beautiful. Yes.
The bill could end up adding $3.3 trillion to the national debt over the next decade. So I don't think this is a good bill, dude. And will it get signed? I don't know. It's big. It's beautiful. But we'll see what happens.
I've done some porn searches where big, beautiful things come out. And hey, it's a crowd pleaser. But I'm not sure this one is.
No,
people
I don't
will be
think.
Getting screwed, much like the porn search, but not in the same way. So.
No, no.
Need to know news.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire.
News you need to know.
I got bronchitis. Ain't nobody got time for that.
I do feel a little something coming on, by the way. I don't feel like my voice is as deep as normal. I don't know if it's bronchitis or not. I don't know. Everyone's sick.
Why, you're getting ill now?
I don't know. I just don't. My voice isn't where it normally is. That's all I'm saying. I feel like something's coming on.
So. You feel nude?
I'm nude from the waist down, as all people on camera are. I don't know if everyone knows that, but that's sort of a policy in the broadcasting world. So
I think that's just between you and I, dude.
All right. Do you have that CNN video, the one about Abby Phillips?
Let me see here, Steve.
The answer's not supposed to be no. That's just me giving you time to find it.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, good. So, let's see here. CNN anchor Abby Phillip had a scathing response up her sleeve. This was last night on Newsnight when Scott Jennings started going off. So, roll that clip.
I didn't see any of those things happen. So, I think that the congresswoman will be vindicated. And the videos are clear. Everybody can see those videos. They'll see the whole thing, and it'll be clear to me, and it'll be clear to her in court.
I mean, the videos are pretty clear, are they not? I mean, she's shoving elbows, punches. I mean, this is violent activity against law enforcement, isn't it?
It's a lot of pushing and shoving. I don't know if...
Would a regular person, if they came and did that to a federal officer, get away with it?
A regular person, like a non-politician?
They might get pardoned.
If they showed up at a federal facility,
they might get pardoned by the federal
officer. Were they charged? Were they charged? Were they convicted in court?
Would
a regular person?
Listen, they're talking about this whole debacle going on in New Jersey where the mayor got arrested and now they're going after elected officials that have every legal right to go to an ICE facility. But this whole thing turned into a debacle. And yeah, so Scott Jennings there was trying to defend it. And by the way, Scott Jennings has famously defended Trump pardoning the January 6 rioters, all 1,500 of them, no matter how violent their acts were, no matter how many cops they assaulted. So he defended that. And then, yes, tried to say that what if a normal person were to push around, a police officer or, security guard or whatever. And I love that response. Well, they just all may get pardoned because that's the frickin' world we live in right now.
It's sad but true, dude. We know that that is 100% true.
Indeed it is. And, these January 6 rioters were pardoned. Scott Jennings was defending them. And I will just say, I will just tag these stories together here. I'm starting to think maybe some of these January 6 rioters weren't just proud patriots. Some of them may have been bad people.
Why do you say that?
A Virginia man pardoned by President Trump after assaulting police officers and smashing windows during the January 6th insurrection at the Capitol is back behind bars. He burglarized a neighbor's home. Zachary Jordan Ulm was released from prison less than 4 months ago after Trump pardoned him, and now he's right back in jail.
Patriots can also be burglars. Don't get it twisted, dude. I mean, these people love their country. That's why they were there. The fact that he got in trouble, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and this cocky dude, when he was in court, he told the judge that he deserved a pardon from Trump who had been reelected just days before when he was in front of this judge. And he said he wants a full pardon with all the benefits that come with it, including full compensation. I will not accept a second class pardon.
Wow. Wow, dude. Yeah, that's pretty brazen, dude. I mean, this is the way that Trump has made these people feel. You know, think of it, dude. These people that went to jail, that were sitting in a jail cell because they did a mass. Yeah, that's right. They just got to walk out one day with almost people, you know, cheering along like, finally, the hostages are free. The Jan 6 hostages are free. So, yeah, these people are bold. They are brazen. And I can completely see why that guy said that to the judge. Like, you feel untouchable.
Yeah. And by the way, the judge did not take those comments lightly and decided to give this guy essentially the maximum sentence for it. So he was sentenced to 96 months in prison, followed by 36 months of supervised release. So he should have been years and years away from getting out. But yeah, so Trump pardoned him. He got out. And let's see here. Alm 33, allegedly, broken through the back door at 8:30 p.m. and fled after being confronted by the home's residents.
Who hasn't done that before? Am I right?
Right. I mean, so first of all, he's not smart enough to know that somebody was home. And secondly, I don't know, where's the good guy with a gun when we need him? This guy broke into these people's home while they were there and somehow managed to get out of there without getting shot in the head.
That's insane to me, dude. I'm sure he was on drugs or he's just a bad person. I mean, that's why it's so funny that, you know, Trump would never have dinner with one of these people that he's pardoned, you know, but, you know, holds them up as such patriots and wonderful people that they just love their country. Very unfair.
Yeah, but don't worry. He's getting deported, though, to a Venezuelan prison. I'm just kidding.
No, not without due process. They'll give him due process, dude.
Yes. Michael's commenting on YouTube. He says, let's guess. He robbed his neighbor because he was a woke lib. He was doing what Trump wanted him to do. You know what? That might actually explain why this guy didn't have a gun. Not that all liberals don't have guns, because trust me, some of us do. But I don't know. He was robbing the neighbor because he's a broke-ass dude that can't hold down a job, doesn't care about the rule of law, and is a generally crappy human being. Whether you're invading your neighbor's home or voting for Trump, all of these are, I feel, relatively good indicators that you're a bad person.
Yeah, I would think so. I don't know a whole bunch about what's going on right now with the Ashley Babbitt thing. Are you up to date with what's happening?
Well, this is the woman that got shot on January 6th. And she should have been. I mean, that was the stage where they had broken into not only the Capitol, but they were trying to get onto the floor of the House to do God knows what. And this is when elected officials were, you know, hiding under chairs and putting on gas masks and people were breaking down the windows and the doors. And she got through and the security shot her, as they should have. But her family has sued for, I don't even know, wrongful death or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And I would think that's a lawsuit we could have pretty easily won. But no, Trump decided to open up America's checkbook, by the way.
Yeah.
This is our tax dollars going to this woman's family now for $5 million.
$5 million, dude. I couldn't believe that. I mean, we're living in this alternate reality where everything is completely backasswards. You're right. I mean, sorry someone got shot. Like, I don't want anyone to get shot. But what she was doing, what do you mean? She was doing, I mean, yeah, that's it. She should have probably got shot, right?
I don't want people in general just to be shot. But when you're breaking the law, my sympathy goes right out the window. And I'm not talking about, you know, a black guy that gets pulled over and, you know, stole a cigarette and then ends up getting choked to death on the street. Like, that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about if you are breaking into the Capitol, trying to throw off the election, stop the certification of the vote, a violent act is happening and you get shot in that process. It's 1,000% your fault. You deserve no money. In fact, her family should be paying us for the cost of anything. That whole thing caused millions of dollars of damage, and she was front and center.
Yeah. And what about the cops that lost their life, dude? You know, the Capitol officers that lost their lives. So I don't see any of them getting millions of dollars. I'd rather pay for that out of my tax dollars than give Ashley Babbitt's family anything.
Of course. And this was a settlement the Department of Justice just offered up. So, you know, it's not bad enough that he pardoned all these people. Now he's actually writing checks to at least the Babbitt family.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty crazy. Let's see. Let's look in this chat here for a minute. Hey, by the way, thanks for watching the podcast. Lurking Dragon said 8647, and, you know, it is something we should probably talk about a little bit. James Comey and his seashells. You know, what do you think of the whole I happen to come on to the seashells? Do you think he made those seashells, or do you think he found them?
No. So first of all, yeah, I see the comment in there, and I've been seeing that across the internet ever since the story broke. I'm just seeing 8647 in the comment section from, you know, multiple people. No, I don't think Comey is hip enough, cool enough, or anything else to have gotten down in the dirt and done that. He stumbled across it. I think he understood the generally accepted meaning that when you 86 something, it means you cancel it, you get rid of it, and obviously 47 is Trump. So the notion from these whiny little snowflakes, he was threatening Trump with assassination, the big bad man, you know.
Arrest him immediately.
Right. Oy, yi, yi. I mean, they always talk about the snowflakes on the left, but those guys will whine about anything. And they constantly look for, you know, an excuse to be a victim, as if Comey was coming after him.
Pretty funny to see Comey go on. I think he was on MSNBC talking about it. And he was like, yeah, my wife and I came across it. My wife has worked in a lot of restaurants. And she said 86. Oh, that means like we're out of that item. So, you know, it was like it was just a real simple thing. I thought, oh, that's kind of a good picture or whatever. So I took it. I do believe that happened. He's already talked to the Secret Service once. And then he decided to go in and, hey, you have full access to me, unfettered. I'll give you everything you want to know, and went down and saw him. That is where it should definitely stop. If anything happens to James Comey over this assassination attempt, it would be a travesty.
Yeah, it would be. And Comey said the Secret Service were professionals, and I'm sure they probably were. In a normal world, I would say that this is preposterous. It cannot go anywhere. But with Trump using the Department of Justice like his own little personal hit squad, I would not doubt or would not be surprised if charges were brought against him. I would like to think that a judge or jury would never in a quadrillion years possibly convict him of that. But the problem, as you're well aware, is you don't have to. You drag somebody through the courts like that, you're going to freaking bankrupt them.
Oh, completely. Yeah. No, if you know, it's funny also you brought up the fact that all these snowflakes are like, oh, you know, they wanted him dead. It's very obvious. I was watching Jon Stewart do something, and he was like, oh, that's odd that you guys have such an issue with that, because this is merchandise that was being sold all during the Biden administration. That's, you know, 8646.
Yes.
Didn't have a problem with it then.
No, of course. It's almost as if they're giant flaming hypocrites. And like I said, whiny snowflakes looking to be the victims in any scenario they can. And I thought Trump was the fight. No assassin's bullet will take down my ear. So what's he afraid of?
That's funny that you mentioned that. Did you ever get around to seeing Trump talk to Bret Baier about the assassination attempt?
No.
Kind of an interesting thing, because Bret Baier is like, you know, you told us you were going to let us know what you were able to find out about that, about this. And people want to know, like, who tried to kill you and what was behind the assassination attempt? Like, we're waiting.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, I got good people. They told me it's, you know, it's really not a thing. It's not a thing. He was like, but I'd like to know, too, because I still get a little twinge in my ear. You know, it reminds me of it. I tell you, dude, I don't like to get into conspiracy theories, but I really have never been given any great evidence that he was actually shot by somebody that wanted to murder him.
Yeah, listen, any other assassination attempt in presidential or just political history or pop culture history, I mean, we drill into these shooters and the trials, and I have not heard anything about anyone.
No.
And this whole ear wound, like, I'm sorry, I don't know if it was a conspiracy, as in it was faked, or he just got grazed and decided to milk it like some little kid that, you know, cuts his little hand and goes to mommy, like, look at all the blood. But yeah. Seriously, yeah. The bullet, as we know, high velocity bullet, I mean, for it just to barely make your ear bleed, I don't even know how that is possible. I don't see how it didn't turn some part of his ear into hamburger, but we've all seen his ear since. It is fine. So
it was fine 2 days later, dude. It was fine 2 days later.
Yeah. And again, the problem is they're in control, so they're not going to look any further into that if they're hiding something. And it certainly makes it look like they are because they're not looking into it. So, and just like the Epstein files, like there's a reason he's looking into, you know, freaking going after Bruce Springsteen or James Comey. But for some reason, he's not talking about any of that stuff.
Yeah, it's absolutely nuts to me. But like you said, I mean, it just makes you know, oh, yeah, this is all bullshit. There's something you're hiding here.
Yeah. And by the way, just to wrap up this 8647 stuff, I say thumbs up, post it away, not as a assassination threat, but as what it does mean. Like, we got to cancel this dude. We got to get rid of this dude. So I'm all for that. But I did see somebody share a meme yesterday that made me think of you, Nick. It was a different numerical and letter code that somebody had on seashells on the beach.
Oh, really? What is it?
You tell me if you can decipher this, because I don't know what it means. I'm very naive. It said 69 AOC.
Oh, yeah. yeah, I don't know if that's appropriate, but yeah, I know exactly what it means.
That's something I can get behind.
yeah, you'd have to.
Because she's an intelligent, progressive woman with a bright future ahead of her. I'm attracted to that kind of thing. So
that's right. We'll go with that.
For one more story.
Okay.
If you can follow that. So.
Yeah, I can follow that. Let me talk to you a little bit about this Taylor Swift wanting to have a little word with Trump here and there about the Take It Down Act speech. This is that whole thing where, you know, revenge porn on the internet, they're coming up with this bill to say, like, yeah, you can't get revenge on people on the internet. Well, a lot of different people, Taylor Swift included, are probably wondering, like, this again seems a bit hypocritical coming from you, Mr. Trump, because you bully people all the time. He said, you know, hey, you cannot do this. You're not going to bully people online. We're not going to stand for it. And we signed that bill. We're going to sign it right away. What horrible things are taking place, the president said, adding, with the rise of AI image generation, countless women have been harassed with deep fakes and other explicit images disturbed against their will. And this is wrong. It's just so horribly wrong. We will not tolerate online sexual exploitation. That is unbelievable coming from Trump, right?
Well, I mean, he doesn't want any of his videos out there. I mean, whether it's Russian hookers or the grab them by the kitty cat, like, maybe that's what this is really about. He just wants to put something out there where don't share anything that might embarrass somebody.
Yeah, but that's never going to work. I mean, we don't have to post anything. He embarrasses himself on a daily basis. But the fact that he has never harassed any women online is crazy. Ludicrous. You're fat. You're a pig. You have no talent. You know, this is so hypocritical.
Yeah. You know, I think during his first term, Melania tried to come out with some anti-bullying thing that, you know, everybody just laughed in her face over because, yeah, you're married. Not anymore, I don't think, to the biggest bully on the planet. So,
yeah,
I don't know. It's on a long list of stupid, hypocritical things going on in that world.
But even with AI stuff, like, you know, the AI generated Taylor Swift of, you know, I am for President Trump, and he reposted that. I mean, he's guilty of all this stuff himself. So I wonder how many. Immunity. Yeah. Why? Why? Damn it. Why?
It continues the theme of what is good for the goose is not good for the gander. You know, I mean, he doesn't want I have no idea what the motivation behind it is, but yeah, obviously it's hypocritical.
Yeah, no, 100%. So we'll see what happens. I mean, he's using AI in glorious ways, whether he's the, you know, the Pope or I saw another AI of him today walking on the beach with Jesus himself, you know, you know, so he's also spreading some AI stuff that I think people believe. We've talked about that before. Like, I know there are people who look at this and be like, oh, yes, that is real. That is real.
I saw a picture of Trump reading a book, and I knew right away, well, that's obviously fake.
Got to be a fake. Deep fake. Deep fake.
Right. Yeah. I will say, who was it here scrolling through our comments on social media? Somebody named Teacher was saying that Comey is an idiot for sharing that on social media. Listen, I mean, maybe. But Comey took it down and has said, like, I didn't realize that what it could have meant. And are we not allowed to make mistakes and apologize, remove something that was ambiguous and completely up to interpretation in the first place?
Maybe, you know what, maybe he's a guy that should just stay out of stuff because it's going to be easier for him to get himself into trouble, but he is a private citizen.
Yeah. And by the way, just on a related note, men of the planet, and maybe some women, it's so normal nowadays to send naked pictures to each other. But if you're the kind of dirtbag that's going to hold on to those pictures and then try to use them against your former partner once your relationship is over, the woman should not feel shamed by that. The man should, by the rest of us, because you're a complete dirtbag. So knock it off. I'm sick of women getting shamed for sending nude pictures.
What, you think you're making a difference with that statement, Steve?
I'm oh, hey, look at my phone blowing up. I'm just trying to say something. I'm trying to enlighten society, okay? It's a modern thing. So, yeah, revenge porn is bad. So, I don't know, maybe this is one of these, like, a broken clock is right twice a day. So if Trump is trying to stop revenge porn, no matter how hypocritical it should be stopped. And guys that do it should be punished. So I don't know. I guess take the win where we can get it, but –
yeah,
or maybe you know, Ivanka's got a video coming out soon that he wants to be able to prosecute somebody for. So,
oh, we can only hope. Oh, I shouldn't think that's good.
I hope there's a delay implementing that law. So.
Yeah. All right, dude.
Then. Yeah, that's that.
That'll wrap it up. Yeah. Well, thanks for a live podcast here today. Really, American Media. We were doing it up big time on the YouTube channel, and a lot of people joined us, so that was fun. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. No, for sure. There's quite a few people on here. R-Dub, Kenny, Evelyn. What do we got? Jess Scott here. We got R-Dub. A lot of comments we didn't have time to get to, but they'll be archived there. So, yeah, we're happy to be with Really American Media nowadays. We're doing this podcast a couple of times a week. I think Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time we'll be doing this live. And then Nick and I are doing videos, the 5-, 6-, 7-minute long videos about whatever the topic of the day is. So a bunch of good ones got posted today. Go check them out. Spread the good word.
Yeah, and hold tight. Resistance, it's a good place to be, the right side of history. Thanks for listening to the podcast, The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Until next time.
This has been a production of The Vocal Minority with Nick and Steve. Thanks for joining us on the Really American platform. Make sure to like and subscribe so you continue to get the content you need to stay in the fight. And remember, for every new subscriber, Trump's ego isn't the only thing that shrinks. That's a penis joke. Stay vocal, friends. Until next time.